Welcome to the Your Own Medicine podcast. Thank you for listening. My name is Callie Klug, and I am a yoga teacher and somatic practitioner in Southern California. Your Own Medicine podcast was really created with this idea and this intention of bringing knowledge to you to access the medicine within you and within your own body. So thank you for listening. Let's go. Welcome to this week's episode. What's up? Okay, I'm glad you're here. So this week I was so excited because I was able to interview Sage, who you'll hear in a second. She's an amazing, she studied micro expressions and then also like how trauma affects your face. So I found her because I'm really into face massage and like holistic aging techniques, basically, or anti-aging techniques. I'm scared of getting Botox, so I'm like, what else can I use? And there's this whole a trend or a movement on social media that's like lymphatic drainage and facial massage and all of this, and I've always found it really intriguing. But she actually goes a step further and really has this whole philosophy on making it a lifestyle that is not just, you know, as like a Botox alternative, but really being connected to your body and using these like facial massages as a check-in of like, oh, am I holding more tension? And you know, it's really cool. So I hope you enjoy it. And today, yeah, that's it. I hope you enjoy it and have a great rest of the podcast. Ciao. All right. So welcome, Sage. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm so happy that you're here.
Hi, happy to be here too.
Can you start by just explaining who you are and what you do?
Yeah, for sure. So several years ago, I started getting interested in face massage, gua sha, all those kind of, you know, under that category of natural techniques for the face. And it was partly because I suspected that I held a lot of tension in my face. I could feel it, especially when I would be in certain emotional states. But there really wasn't a lot of content out there about that. You know, I would try to look it up and it would either be the beauty aspect of face massage or just about the mental experience of anxiety or really intense feelings. So I set out to kind of combine these two fields of knowledge. And I did a lot of research, and then I later got some certifications in different areas to combine that. And I was able to get rid of a lot of my facial tension. I could feel the changes. I could see the changes. Other people could see it in me. And it was very freeing. It felt like, you know, I had my, what I call true face back. And so that's what I talk about now. So I help other people with that. I help people figure out how they hold their face in certain ways and how that's arising from the internal experience, the internal becoming external. It could be, you know, anger, it could be sadness, it could be anxiety. And this all shows up in similar ways for us because of, you know, not just how we hold the body. We have a lot of information out there about how the body experiences emotions, but we kind of forget the face sometimes too. So yeah, I think I answered everything. Let me know if I missed anything.
Yeah, no, that's good. Yeah, I really like your content. I think I found you when I started like researching lymphatic drainage.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. I wonder how people find me.
Yeah, I don't remember if I found you through TikTok or Instagram, but I turned 25 and I was like, oh my gosh, I look so old. I'm 27 now. And I was like, what the hell? Like, felt like overnight. It was also during COVID. So I kind of wondered if it had something to do with it.
Totally.
And I started getting into like lymphatic drainage and gua sha and everything. But I feel like your approach is really unique, in the sense that you really weave in the theory of like why your face ends up the way it does, like why you have jaw tension.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah, I'm curious to hear more about that aspect.
Well, I love that element of it, and I'm glad that other people do too. I come from an academic background, so I got a master's and a PhD in mass communication, which is kind of like the study of society's interaction with media and like mass forms of communication. So that's like a different field, but like we would learn a lot about theory, and I learned how to analyze academic studies, how to analyze published research. So I love sharing that with people. I think it's really important to explore that element of it. There's traditional Chinese medicine talks about the face in relation to our internal state a lot too, but then there's also like published Western research on it, and jaw tension is a great example of that. There's numerous studies showing the psychological link to TMJ and jaw tension, which I think we just don't hear about or think about enough, how a lot of these, even like physical ailments, health issues, are so deeply related to our internal state. So with the jaw in particular, for example, it's often linked to, if you see it in the research, they'll kind of put it under the broad umbrella of stress. So stress is kind of like, that's very broad, you know, right? It's like, what do you mean by that? Like when you were studying that, they just kind of ask people, how stressed are you? But
We
more
don't even know,
specifically,
I feel. We don't, I feel like we genuinely don't even realize how stressed we are. Like how you said at the beginning, you're like, oh, my legs kind of were like holding. Like I feel like we don't actually even know like how much tension our bodies carry.
oh yeah. Totally. And I think we get used to it. It becomes, you know, normalized. So that's such a great example. Like before doing this with you, of course, like I'm a little like not bad anxious, but I'm a little like that anxious energy, like, oh, we're about to meet each other, we're gonna talk. And your body starts kind of doing like this. It reacts to that. And so if you're carrying around stress, and in particular, anger, frustration, clenching, bracing type of emotions all the time, this is just all the time getting worked to death. It's just, and then before you know it, just like the example of, you know, me holding that in my body, you don't even like realize it. It's just like becomes your new normal. And so a lot of people notice the physical changes of it first, I think, often because you get like so used to the feeling in the body, which is crazy. And then once they start getting in there and massaging, they're like, I did not even know how like rock hard intense this was. And I had been holding it like the whole time. So yeah, it's really fun to talk about the mechanisms behind all this.
Yeah, you have this one like exercise where you just press behind your jaw, and I
Yeah.
that one a lot, and it's so crazy because
Got
on
right in
days
there.
I recently traveled, and on the travel days it would be like freaking, I would almost get dizzy doing it because it was like, oh my gosh. And it's just crazy how sensitive our bodies are to these
Yeah.
changes in our environment, our stimulus. And it happens fast because I do my face massage every day, and then
Yeah.
the next day it's tense. So it's just interesting the consistency that's required too, which makes sense. But yeah.
It is. Yeah, I think that's a great example. Like I'm always curious to hear from people if they can tell a difference on certain days, because you can in that area. So like going into that area right below the earlobe here, it's like an indicator, like I talk about in those videos, of what's going on for you. Because there's a ton of nerves there too. It's kind of like an empty space. There's not like a lot going on there. It's not actually on the jaw joint, but when things are tense, it gets so clamped up there, and then there's all those nerves there. So you don't even realize it, but you have all this pressure being put on these nerves that connect to other parts of your body. Like it connects all the way through your stomach, you know, your head. So that's why people feel nauseous, or like you said, dizzy, when you've had like this unknown, constant low grade tension going on there. And then you tune into it and you're like, oh my gosh, what, you know, what's going on? But that is another thing too. You do have to be consistent with it. So that's what I hope for people, is to like be able to think about this as a kind of lifestyle change versus just say, so how long can I do the massage until I get the results, until I see, you know, that my eyebrows are more lifted now or whatever. Like you do get those visual results, but then keeping up with it is about like that, maintaining that feeling in your body. And I'm not sure if you know that's similar with some of the somatic practices you teach, but it's always like an ongoing process. I mean, for me, I've been doing it for 4+ years, so I don't do it as much as I used to. I don't really have to like have that like set aside intense time, like 15 to 20 minutes, really feeling what's going on, learning. Now I can just kind of like sense what I need and keep up that maintenance. But then if I have a lot going on in my life, if I have stress, it's like, you know, I just feel it coming like right back. So it's fascinating, you know, how you have to keep it up. I guess it's like diet and exercise, you know, there's a lot of things for the body like that.
Yes, and one thing that drives me fucking crazy on TikTok is that the like TikTok, I follow a lot of like more holistic people like you and Anastasia. Do you know her? I love her. That talk about this like Botox free, like how you can like, you know, it's very holistic, this view of like aging and just like self-care. And then I follow a lot of surgeons that do like facelifts and Botox because I want like both sides. And one thing they say that drives me crazy is they're like, well, these face massages are temporary. They're not like they, and I'm like, first of all, Botox is also temporary. Secondly, so is like good diet and like exercise. Like you have to exercise, you know, consistently.
If you go to a plastic surgeon office and you ask for a laser to tighten your skin, they'll tell you you need to come back in every so often to re-up it. You know, this will last for 2 to 3 years, then you have to do it again. Like even the major procedures, like you said, yeah, it's temporary. But
That's,
every life is temporary. Like, what do you mean?
I'm literally, thank you. Our body's literally temporary. I feel like everything that we put in our body or on our body, it has to be done consistently. It's just a marketing thing, I feel, to like discredit the validity of this, which is very like backed up. Speaking of Botox, I have so many like questions on Botox, but one thing that I think you specifically talk about is like how important it is to have a face that can move and can emote and isn't like pressed into these permanent expressions, like permanent scowl lines or whatever. And so Botox prevents you from emoting fully. And so I'm just curious your thoughts on like that in terms of relational, like how it might even affect relationships or how you even experience your own body.
Oh, it's so interesting. And people love this topic. I always get questions on it too. So Botox does inhibit, and this is where we actually get a lot of the research that indicates that how you hold your face also matters for how you feel. It does send a signal back. So because the cosmetic industry has so much more like money in the game, there's a lot more research around how Botox can inhibit emotions rather than like how face massage could help you feel calmer, could help you release anger, could help you release sadness. Because, you know, we're not like the big face massage industry trying to get research. So, there, the facial feedback hypothesis is a pretty well established concept that when you hold your face in certain ways, it makes you feel that way more intensely. So there's a lot of studies showing that people who get Botox, for example, in the 11 lines, so they can no longer, even subtly, because it doesn't mean that you're full on, like, you know, pressing it all the way in. Even if you just right now hold your brows a little more tensely, you will start to feel that intensity come over you. So when people get Botox there, they end up feeling less anger. They can measure that they feel less angry,
Wow.
from that. So yeah, that's a great thing, but then you are kind of like entering this weird territory where what happens when you like can't feel it anymore? Not that you're still gonna be angry, but like
Can't like emote it fully, like your body. I have a background in like somatic experiencing. Are you familiar with that? So it's like for listeners, it's a field of somatic therapy that helps you to complete uncomplete trauma responses or like bodily movements like punching or screaming or really subtle ones, even like you said, like just subtle. And so I
Subtle, yeah.
wonder if like there's some kind of connection between like your body not being able to emote in a way that it feels like it wants to.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I was getting at. And you, yeah, definitely with your background in that, you would know more about that. But that's something like, the research stops there. I would love to see like more exploration of that for people because I definitely don't teach like you need to be like this all the time, you need to be like perfectly happy
Happy.
and your face is just perfectly, open and happy all the time. It's just that you're able to move through it. You're able to like feel
Okay.
it and then it doesn't get stuck and you get in that cycle of stagnation. And that's what I feel like I'm feeling more and more like Botox does increase stagnation in the skin and in the facial muscles. I've said for a long time on TikTok in particular, if you want to get Botox, like go do what you want to do. There are some like holistic and face massage people out there who are very almost like aggressively anti-Botox. And I understand that like people make decisions for whatever reasons that they have, and Botox may feel like something, you need to
That's
do.
supportive, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. But I've been reading a lot more about long-term use of Botox. Even injectors are coming out and saying, yeah, you're going to atrophy things over time. It's going to start
Mean,
to
yeah, of
feel
course.
like, it can't like maintain what's called proper tonus, which is when the muscles aren't in an active state of contraction if you're like too tense, but they can like basically support things. So it's why we can sit up right now and not collapse down. We're not like fully contracting our muscles, but it keeps things upright. So over time, the Botox is just wearing that away, So yeah, I'm becoming increasingly concerned, about Botox and trying to kind of speak out about that and like at least like help people to use it sparingly and like thoughtfully. And especially for the jaw muscles, there's a lot of research coming out that it can cause bone loss in the
Oh my
jaw
God.
area because we also need the like force of our muscles on
To
bone to
chew,
maintain
yeah.
bone health. So I think I answered all that. What did I get all
Wow.
that in the
No,
question?
that's yeah, totally. That's amazing. My issue with Botox is that it doesn't feel like informed consent. Because like I've done a lot of research on Botox, like I said, both sides, like the people promoting and the people who are like maybe not for Botox. And it doesn't seem like people are getting the like full picture of like risks and long term, and which I understand, obviously, if you're marketing it, you're not gonna want to be like, yeah, this might actually atrophy your muscle
Yeah,
fully.
exactly. Yeah.
So it's
If,
just It's just
yeah.
interesting to, yeah, like explore alternatives. Would you say that this is an alternative to Botox?
I mean, that is like, it's such a tricky question because, of course, I'll be so transparent. Like, I try to be extremely transparent about what I do. Of course, for me to market what I do as an exact, alternative for Botox would be better for me to market it that way. But I don't think that that's like the best way for us to think about this
Okay.
because I think that we can do things with releasing our tension that also Botox can't do. That it doesn't really do everything. So We can certainly, and I also like to think about softening things versus like erasing them. Sometimes Botox will completely erase lines, but at what cost? So I recently posted a video about forehead lines. So you may get Botox up here in the frontalis muscles of your forehead, and you completely get rid of your lines up here, but you get a subtle brow drop. The brows will slightly drop. So then the injector says, don't worry, we'll put it on the outer edges of the brows. And this lifts your eyes up like this. And then people get that kind of like high arch to their face.
Surprised face.
And so it's like, okay, you, if that's the aesthetic look you're going for, that's totally fine. Go for that. But that's not going to be possible with face massage because like neuromodulators with like, and or neurotoxins, like a Botox, it's just performing like such an intense function. It's like, it's literally like paralyzing the muscle. So I could never like get you to massage your face enough to get that kind of like, I mean, some people call it a Spock brow when it's too high, but also it's kind of like the brow lift or fox eye look where it comes really out. You're almost changing your natural features at that point. So they kind of just perform different things. And what we can do with relearning our facial patterns, relearning how we hold our face and releasing the tension is we then get into that almost like subjective sense of you just like have like a different aura about you. You carry yourself differently, you come off differently. So that's why I've used examples of like people from popular culture and reality shows who have obviously had a lot of work done and they still may or may not put off a confident, centered, you know, like open, relaxed vibe, a look to them. Or they may put off, they still look kind of like pissed off or sad or, you know, whatever it may be. So like it's silly, but like Lisa Vanderpump from Vanderpump Rules and Real Housewives, she's had a ton of work done. She's had facelifts, she's had Botox, she's had filler. She still just carries herself in her face in a very confident way. And you can see that, and you can compare her to other housewives, for example, and it's just not, it's not there in the same way. So that's a long answer, but you know, I it's a little bit of a, like a complicated to like compare them, you know, one to one.
Like apples and oranges, just
Yeah, I
different
think so.
functions, different. Yeah. Okay, no, that was a great answer. So but before we started, you mentioned wanting to get into the connection between like fawning and the facial expressions. And I was going through your profile and I wrote this down and I said I was looking at your videos and when, oh, you had a video that had the different facial expressions and one of them was fear and it was like this like raised eyebrows and I feel like I see that a lot in fawning where it's like the it's almost like the eyes are the fear expression but then there's a smile where it's like
Yeah,
it's kind of unsettling. It's like it's not authentically wanting to connect. It's like it's motivated by fear. And so what I noted is like in addition to when someone's fawning and they're already verbally maybe not expressing the truth of how they're feeling and or they're like, oh, this is great, this is great. On top of that, it's paired with this really like unsettling body language because obviously, like the person fawning, if I'm fawning, I'm like wanting to appease you and like settle you. But it's weird because it's like actually kind of unsettling body language because I have this like fear look in my eyes, but I'm smiling. And it's
That is so
actually,
interesting.
yeah. So I'm just curious, like, your thoughts on that or what you think the connection is between like fawning and appeasement and how that would maybe even affect your face long term.
I think you're very much onto something there. I mean, I love this. And that's like why it's great to hear from that perspective because I have like focus on other facial expressions, but I really think you're onto something. I think that is accurate because especially the eyes and the mouth are where we show the most what we're feeling. We always think of the eyes, you know, it's like the eyes are the window of the soul and that. So those little circular muscles around our eyes can like really have subtle shifts. And so for fear, it would be like kind of this like almost like wide eye, but yeah, it's
Yeah,
like
it's like,
blankness almost to
ooh,
it,
okay.
because
Like
you're so like, oh God, what's gonna
dissociation.
happen? What'd you say?
Well, because in fawning, a big part of fawning is dissociation. And so when you see
Mm,
like the
yeah.
blank look in the eyes, it's like kind of like you're like smiling and your eyes are like, but you're not really there. It's like there's like a, you're
Yeah,
not present.
exactly. So I think that makes a lot of sense. And that's also something Botox can't fix. You can't inject Botox around these little muscles around your eyes, because we have like the ones that surround our eyes here and they open and close. And then, Botox is like here, the 11 lines, the forehead. So that's one of those, it's a great example of how, you still have this coming through in the face. And then with the mouth, the smile, definitely, the slight smile would be the fawn. But I also talk a lot about a nervous smile versus a natural smile. And I think that the anxious, nervous smile would probably be associated with what you're talking about. So that would be where your mouth pulls in a lot more rather than like still maintaining a relaxed state in these cheek and mouth muscles. So it's kind of like, it's almost like it
More
is like
tension.
going away from the person. You're like, yeah, versus,
But like good morning when you're like, hey.
yeah, like when you like, yeah, when you like see, like they talk about like the white person smile when you see someone in the grocery
Yeah,
store,
that's what
like
I'm
the
thinking of.
firm,
You're
like,
I.
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very subtle, but I mean, that's one of the things a lot of my clients have said was that they were starting to find it very hard to smile naturally. It was just starting to feel like very stiff and blocked in their smile and in their lower face. And I think that would probably relate a lot to what you're talking about. I think that fits very well with that fawn response. So that's very interesting.
Yeah, and I know when I would like fawn a lot, now I actually find it harder to mask, which I feel I'm actually happy for. I'm like, even if
Yeah.
it leads to worse social interactions, like I'm like, I feel like I'm saving so much energy. But
Yeah.
before, when I would fawn a lot, especially for like hours at a time at work or with, like friends or whatever, my jaw would hurt so bad after.
Oh,
You know what
wow.
that is? Like, would that be
Well,
that tight smile?
yeah, I mean, definitely. Whenever I have people work on the jaw area, I also have them work on the lower cheek area and the front of the face, because I mean, I had that too. I had a ton of jaw tension. If you look at my before photos, it was like when I would turn to the side, it looked like just like a block. And so that was starting at my masseter, but it was also the lower cheek area too, because everything's just clamping kind of in and down. And there aren't a ton of studies on this, but there is a lot of evidence, I guess you could say, in traditional Chinese medicine, that the jaw, when it becomes clamped, it's because you're withholding what you want to say. You're literally like,
Yeah, makes sense.
it's almost like you're eating your words, like you're just trying to like maintain them. And I mean, physically, it doesn't make sense to me that you would clamp the mouth and the jaw a little tighter when you don't feel comfortable enough to just like fully express, fully emote, fully, say what your truth is. So that makes sense to me, that you would experience that. And I've had a lot of people say that. They're like, after I get like off a shift of work, after I have to deal with like customer service and like interact with people, their face is just like locked in place from that having to like hold it all the time.
So gnarly. And
Yeah.
I was looking at your videos a few months ago, and I visited one of my like family friends who's older. I think he's in his 70s, and he had these like really deep like frown lines. But to the point where when I was talking to him, the first like moment of the interaction, I would be like, oh, is something
Oh
wrong?
yeah.
And I
You're
like
like,
noticed that. And then I like connected it to your videos where it was like and I think that's why I really resonate with your philosophy around this, is it's not just aesthetic or it's not just vanity. It's like actually relational.
and your own somatic experience of like how your face presents itself will change how people perceive you. And not just like vanity, but like relational, like purely relational.
And that does matter, right? Like, even though we want to go on our own self-healing journey, we want to do this for ourselves. I mean, part of that is like changing the way that you exist and interact in the world. And that starts that feedback loop of when I emote a certain thing out to a person, like you said, holding tension in the brow area, that in turn affects how you react. Even if you are a non-judgmental, very open, very loving person, we are social animals and we've evolved to look at the face. We immediately look at the face. If we didn't, we would. I mean, it's like a core safety thing, you know? So we have to do it. So it, relationally, it does matter so much to be able to return to that state of being open, up, relaxed, like shorthand, you know, it, for me, it's just, I think of like open, up, relaxed. The features are open, but they're not pulled up like in surprise. It's kind of like an out thing, like a V shape running from the point of the chin up towards your temples. For those who are just listening and can't see it, just imagine things kind of coming up and out and open. So when you're able to return to that, even if you can like move through emotions and emote when needed, that does help so much relationally. And then you just feel more comfortable too, because I think a lot of us get into these facial tension patterns because we are protecting ourselves. Like it is a form of self-protection, especially with fawn. You can see how someone is like, the world feels really scary to me, so I need to try really hard to show to others that I'm not. It's almost like a dog rolled on their back. Like I'm like, it's good, I'm good, you know, like don't hurt me kind of thing. And I think that even people who have like anger, which would be the fight response, they're also trying to protect themselves. They're also trying to be like, before you do anything, you know, I have this intensity about me, you know, so back off. Sadness too. Like, I mean, it's all us trying to show not just to ourselves, but to others what state we're in to serve some kind of purpose for us. I think that a lot of times goes back to self-protection. And then it's so freeing to be like, oh, I can just exist. Like I can be free and open in my face. I can be mad when I want, and then I can go out of it. I can be sad when I want, I can go out of it. That for me was just like, it was so freeing because I felt like a prisoner to my facial tension. And I'm sure other people were like, well, I mean, people would. They'd be like, what's wrong? Like, are you good? You know, I would get that like all the time. So it's just like it's like crazy to think about how key it is. It's really fundamental.
It's interesting what you're saying too, because one of my favorite somatic therapists, he says the opposite of depression is not joy. The opposite of depression is expression. And just like
Oh,
you
I love
said, that
that.
ability to like move through and not be like, oh, like anger's bad, sadness is bad, but just like let it happen. Yeah, it's interesting. I
That's
have so
great.
many questions from like a lot of questions.
Oh, awesome.
And so I'm thinking we can get to those just so we have time.
Yeah, totally.
So someone said, can she explain the connection between trauma and the masseter and masseter tension slash clenching and or holding tension in the lower face? And I'm gonna go get a blanket really fast because I'm like freezing cold right now and my body's tensing up. So I'll be right back.
Yeah,
Thank
sure.
you
I'll
for
wait
your
for you.
I don't use this room very much, and I'm like, I forget how much I hate the feeling of cold in my
Oh,
body.
I know. I was really cold last night and just like, but of course, like my fiance, because like most men, they want to sleep cold because he's over there like sweating. And then I'm like,
Yeah, I feel like
Okay.
it's so much tension, just like go along.
Because you're like balling up for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Do you want me to read the
Okay.
question again?
I think I got it. So the
Okay.
connection between the masseter in particular and trauma.
Yes.
Yeah. So I mentioned it earlier, but what we get a lot in the masseter is clenching, clamping down, which if you think about it is like you bracing yourself. If you were to like pick up something really heavy, or if you were to like something's coming at you, you brace, you're like, ugh. So you can feel it brace down. So I think that that is a trauma response, again, as like a self-protective measure. It's like if I'm already bracing all the time, if I'm ready to go in my muscles, I'll be okay. And it doesn't have to be physical trauma that happened to you or a physical fear, because like we know, that's not how the mind-body connection works. Even if we experience emotional abuse, psychological abuse, our body is still wanting to respond to that with that kind of bracing motion. So that's what I've, seen a lot for my clients who have worked through jaw tension. And a lot of them work through anger and frustration, just like kind of ruminating, like thinking all the time. Oh,
Oh, yeah, okay.
And that's why I think a lot of people deal with jaw tension and grinding at night, because it's like, when you're trying to sleep and your brain is just like hammering you with like thoughts you don't want to think about. So this like kind of just staying in it, ruminating all the time, and these your masseters just clench right up, and they're kind of like a rubber band just pulling everything up. So when we work on jaw tension, I like to use what I call the holding pressure method, because it really allows you to kind of sink into it. You need to like slow down,
Is that
you
the
need to
one
like
like where
sink
you?
in. Well, that's one of them. But I also have another where you take like your knuckle and you just stay on one area at a time and you slow down, because when we're working on it, it's almost like we're punishing ourselves. We're like trying to like get it over
Relax,
with. We're like,
Bobby.
get out of there,
Oh, wow, yeah.
So you have to just be like, it's okay. I'm just gonna let the muscle respond on its own. And then in my programs, I teach like an extended version of that. So you take the knuckles and I walk you through it in that, how you can just allow yourself to melt into it, because I think that's a huge part of it. We need to also learn to get out of that bracing, clenching, ruminating, kind of state.
Okay, cool. Yeah, it's interesting what you're saying too about the clenching, because in the somatics they say that even the anticipation of something causes
Yeah.
in your viscera, like your organs, to like clench. So of course
Oh,
it's gonna happen in
interesting.
your jaw, yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't say it's like linked to a particular kind of trauma, just to like, answer them. I think it's more like how you personally respond to trauma. And we all have different tendencies, so it's usually under that like kind of fight umbrella as a response,
Oh.
because you're, resisting it.
Okay. They also say in somatics that fight response is more of an upward motion, so it activates more of like your upper
Oh.
body. So maybe that. Oh, that's interesting. And like your jaw,
Yeah.
because
There's
flight
like,
more down. And so,
yeah. Oh, cool. That's really
yeah.
fascinating. I love these links. Yeah. It's
I
really
know,
neat.
me too. I'm like
Yeah.
so nerdy. I love it.
Yeah.
Okay. The next one says, is there a way to cause certain face muscles to atrophy through stretching? For example, muscles that are overworked and have grown larger due to tension or trauma. Specifically, thinking about muscles around the lower face where disappointment and stress is held, do we want them to atrophy or do we just want them to relax?
Well, that's exactly why I'm becoming so hesitant about Botox, because you get that atrophy. So you do want them to relax. And I've had people try to say this. I had someone the other day say, I work in a dermatology office. We see ptosis of the eyelids. That's when your eyelids drop. And it's, when you're massaging your eyelids like you show, you're gonna have that one day. And I was like, no, we're doing the muscle, not the skin. She's like, yeah, you're gonna atrophy your muscle. If that were true, then people would not get body massages their whole life. I mean, think about that. People who are wealthy, they get massages their entire life. And that improves the health and function of the muscles. It doesn't counteract it. It doesn't atrophy things. It's not like something you can just break down. But what you can do is to restore proper function to those muscles.
So she's saying that by massaging the muscle, you're breaking down the muscle.
Yes. Yeah. She
Okay, that's so funny.
was
When you
like,
put it that way, it's like, okay, girl.
I know. I mean, some people just like they will stay staunch in like, I mean, there's nothing I can say to them. And
That's
I think
not your
it's just
audience for
because,
sure.
what'd you say?
That's not your audience. The
No,
people
it's
that
not,
matter.
and that's
Yeah.
okay. It is frustrating for me. I mean, I probably have like a little bit of people pleasing too, like you. Like, I want everyone to like know that like I'm like, no, it's for real, and I do care, and I'm serious, and that's my own thing to work through. Like, I'm like, okay, I don't have to convince everybody. That's fine. But a lot of people are afraid of this. They're really worried that it's going to like damage the muscle long
Yeah.
term and all this kind of stuff. So if you do it properly, that is not possible. So the main thing is to use medium pressure. So that's where you go beyond the skin level. You're not just like on it. What is
Sorry,
it?
I think my fire alarm just went off. That was so weird.
Oh,
What is going on?
do you
Okay.
have a okay?
No, we don't have anything going on. Sorry, that was so weird. I think it's
No,
gone.
that's like that's serious.
I think it
Yeah.
was like sometimes it's faulty, but I think it's okay. Go ahead and
Okay. If we need to meet again, it's okay. If you need to put out a fire,
No, there's
literally
no
or
fire.
figuratively. Okay. What I was saying. Oh yeah, so we use medium pressure. So medium pressure is where you're going beyond the skin level. You're not just gliding on the skin. You can feel into your muscle, but you're not like trying to put the muscle into submission. You're not like hurting it or using deep pressure. You use glide on the skin. I also like instruct that you should not feel sore the next day. You shouldn't feel like bru you might feel a little bit like after a good massage, like a good feeling of soreness, but you shouldn't feel like you like bruised anything. And as long as you're doing all that, then your muscle, your fascia, your tissue, everything will be okay. So what we do is we restore proper function, and then that also allows blood flow to come back in. So like that person asking about like disappointment, sadness, so that's a lot of like pulling down here. So the neck is also involved, and when the neck gets tight, that prevents the proper flow to the face. Think the bad fluids can't flow out, the good fluids can't flow in. So that's such a benefit. Everything can still function, it can move. Everything's good, but there's not that adhesion. And if you look at like muscle knots, like if you Google like muscle knot illustration, you'll see like the muscles should be like slim like this, like fibers, and then not into like a knot that comes up. So that's only going to be beneficial because, like I said, people get body massages their whole life. So why would we not have it for the face too? I think people just don't like that there might be a beauty element. And so they're like, don't tell me I'll look better if I massage. And I think they're kind of like, it's a little bit of like people being sick of like anti-aging and beauty stuff. So that's why I try to move away from that too.
Oh, I see. And it also threatens medical procedures like
I
Botox
mean,
and stuff.
yeah, totally. And like that woman who was like, this is going to cause ptosis. Well, she's saying that she works in a doctor's office where they fix it surgically all the time. So it's just a different way of thinking about things, I think.
Kind of reminds me of how a lot of doctors in America are not trained in nutrition.
Oh, totally.
And so it's like this weird disconnect of like there is just a lack of holistic thinking. And so obviously in the beauty, offices, they're not going to be like learning this alternative for, like, what does that even have to do with what they're doing? Like, of course they're not going to learn about facial massage and
It's not like it doesn't have to be in competition. I don't think it's like really good in the long term to pit these against each other, because I think that we all like are interested in beauty to some degree, even men, most a lot of men, you care about how you come off, you care about your appearance to some degree. This is why men don't want to like go bald, for example. So we're not getting away from that fact. We all care to some degree. But it's not in competition. It's like kind of bringing everything all together. You can look the way you want to look. You can feel the way you want to feel, and all of that coexisting in a really healthy way. So that, like I said, you come off a certain way. You feel like you're embodying what you want to embody, who you want to embody. And if you also want to get a facelift when you're 60, okay. It's not like you can like go into the office and you're like, oh, doctor, I've been trying face massage my whole life, and I've now realized I want a face or facelift instead. Like it doesn't have to be, either or to me.
Yeah, I see that. All right, I have so many. I don't think we're gonna get to all of these.
Oh, I'm sorry. I probably got on too long about certain ones. We
No,
can.
it's okay. I like going in depth like that. Okay, let's see. I'm just looking for ones that are a little more unique. Okay, this one says, can you explain how trauma affects the lymphatic system or lymphatic drainage in the face, specifically thinking around head and neck posture?
Definitely. So a big response to trauma is to really curl yourself in, even just a little bit. So you get that C curve in the neck, you curl the shoulders in, and that blocks off everything, obviously. So the upper body connecting into the neck, connecting into the face. So that's why that's like one of my main things that I teach, is to release the upper body, the neck. I teach posture stretches in my programs, because you have to free all that up, and then you feel so much better too. You just feel like, okay, like I'm capable, I'm confident, I'm upright, versus that curling in. And so that's the main one I see, is like that curling in. And then it's exacerbated by us like looking at our phones all the time too, and it's
Totally.
all closing everything off, because there's so many lymph nodes running along the sides of the neck, into the chest, into the armpits, up into the face. And so that's huge.
Interesting. Something just clicked for me when you were saying that too. I have a friend who she was telling me that I forget who it was, but someone told her like her face up looks older than her body. So her body looked young, but her face looked older. And she was like really curious of how that came about. And it's just interesting how you're saying when like something happens and we have this like very protective position of like the fetal posture of where our chin tucks in and our hands maybe come up or like super protective and like primal to like find that when you feel unsafe. I
Yeah,
see
totally.
how that could like cause. Is it like, is it tissue? Like what happens like anatomically where things get like there's like a lack of flow.
I think, so that would be a great thing for me to make like a video on with visuals. So I'd have to show like a lot of like illustrations for that. But essentially, so you have all these lymph nodes, and then they, connect all the way up through. And so when the muscles get tight, when things become closed off, that also can cause the fascia to get tighter. We have fascia kind of around our face, along the masseter, down the neck. So we don't have it. Here it's like all blended in with the muscle, so it's not the same as like a
Oh,
sheet of fascia. So on the
interesting.
sides and the neck and everything, it's like sheets that layer on top of the muscle. So all of that goes from being able to be like this, essentially, in layman's terms, so like a fluid
Squiggly.
flowing motion, to then like it's just like stiffer, and
Okay.
then thing the water, the fluid, the blood, all that can't flow out, as easily, essentially. But yeah, I'd love to make like a longer explainer video on that.
So interesting. Okay,
It
cool.
is. It's crazy how it's all connected.
Yeah, it's so connected. Okay, well, thank you so much for answering those questions. If you ever want to come back, I have like 10 more to answer.
Oh, I mean, yeah, if you I don't know if you have time. I have like 10 more minutes if like
Yeah, do you want to go for 10 more minutes?
yeah,
Yeah.
that's fine. Because I feel like I did go I didn't realize how many you had and I talked too long on some of those, so it's totally cool.
I don't think there's such thing as talking too long because I really enjoy the depth. Like,
Yeah.
covering a lot of subjects is nice, but it's cool to go in depth, especially since the topic's so niche. It's like,
Yeah.
where else can
Okay.
we talk about
We're
this?
good.
Like, you have really interesting background and knowledge base. So, okay, there's some really specific ones on your videos. So someone said the cheek exercise that she does, where she only activates the apples of the cheeks. How do you establish mind-body connection? I can't feel those muscles.
I get that all the time, and people get so frustrated. I'm like, I'm sorry. So I think I'm gonna make some more videos on this. It takes time. I had somebody tell me on TikTok it took her 2 months and she finally figured it out. So it can take some commitment. What I have been finding lately, I've been kind of testing on myself to try to help people make that mind-body connection. If you put your hands up into like your scalp on the sides, the temporalis, and then you try to do it, so you would, you can feel how it can be activated in different ways. So there's the zygomaticus muscles like pulling up here, but then there's also like a levator muscle that pulls up. So it's kind of both of them kind of going like, does that make sense? Like, so both are coming up together. So you have to feel it. So you can feel on the apples of the cheeks. That helps bring intention here directly where you're working. And then holding up into the temples, I think because it lifts the tissue a little bit, it allows you to feel into that part of your face a little more.
And
I don't
you
know
like
why.
roll your
I've been
tongue,
testing it. What'd you say?
and you roll your tongue, and then like lift.
That's how I do it. So I roll my tongue, but not everybody can curl their tongue. So you also can do
My
it like
God, it's
this.
hard.
I know, I know. For me, it's like it's easier to curl it, but other people can just do it like this.
Oh, okay.
Just stick it out. It's because it's making your lips go around the tongue to isolate them. That's like the purpose of it. And we're not like pulling down on the lip. It's just like keeping everything kind of there and locked in. So you can also do kind of like a half moon shape, like a like very gently over. And then you want to make sure not to activate the lower cheeks though. This position kind of runs the risk of pulling that into too much at the lower. And like we
So
talked about earlier, that's where a lot of people get tense anyway. So these muscles are like ones that never get work. So we're just trying to isolate everything else so we can keep those like up and lifted. So yeah, I'm gonna make some more videos on that. But it's also a very good mind body exercise. It's a very good facial awareness exercise. Like you become aware of how all this functions in a way you never have before. Because you can go look at like an illustration of like facial muscles, and it'll be very interesting to see like all of them. But you don't think about that when you're like moving your body. So this is a way that you can be like, okay, so that's, you know, how that works and everything. Yeah, so I hope that helps,
Oh,
but I'll
I
make some
hope
more
so
visual
too, because
explainers.
I don't get
It's
it.
hard.
But you have really impressive like isolation and control over your facial. I mean, I guess you've been doing it for a while, but
Yeah, it's crazy though. Like it's just like before it would be like everything would be how to explain
that's I like looked at myself when I was doing it and I was like, oh my God.
it. Like I know. But now like yeah, like it almost looks like cartoonish when you get it right, 'cause it's like just this like comes out. And then I think that helps with having the natural smile too, like I talked about earlier, versus a nervous smile, 'cause a nervous smile is pulling in and back in the lower cheeks. When you have like a natural lift, there's like the corners of the mouth, and then there's that slight kind of like pop of the cheeks, and it
Okay.
just feels better. too. Like it's really good for helping keep the face lifted. There's a lot of aesthetic benefits to the cheek exercises, but I think that facial awareness part of it's really important because it feels better too. But it can be difficult to learn. I do know that.
Yeah, that one's tough. That's level two, I think.
Yeah.
Need to get to level one. Okay, someone said, how often to do the exercises and for how long each day?
So that depends. So like an overall routine, it will let me rephrase. So it depends the number on one on like where you're starting at. If you haven't done this at all, if you have a lot of facial tension, then that's why my programs are structured for 30 days, because it's not that we like resolve everything and fix it perfectly in 30 days, but you just commit 30 days to doing this day in, day out, consistently, getting a routine, getting in the body. And that's like 10 to 15 minutes a day. And so after that, you can do it about like every other day, kind of feel what you need. It's hard to ever give people like hard and fast rules, because part of this is you learning what you need. So like last night, for example, I had a stressful day yesterday. I needed like 10 committed minutes to massaging my lower face in particular. I could feel it, that it was built up there. I wanted to focus on that. But then other days, like I don't need as much. I might like just do gua sha that day or whatever it may be. So you have to kind of learn your body. But I would say to start out, if you're just starting out on your own, try it every other day for 5 to 10 minutes. That's like on the low end. Then in that process, just start to see how it feels. Start to see if you want to go longer. Start to see, if you want to explore other areas that maybe you haven't yet, like maybe you're working on your jaw tension, but you want to start doing scalp massages too, because massaging the scalp helps a lot with the jaw area. So you can like build on that and learn as you go, but then it just kind of becomes like a part of your life, and you don't have to like to think about it as much, if that makes sense. You just kind of
Yeah.
like do what you need.
It's like a lifestyle.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. So I feel like this is a really good time to plug your program, because you were telling me about your program where it's like choose your own adventure.
So I'm very excited for this. I have been working for the past year with my 30-day program. So that has been a great experience for people to see what's possible in 30 days. But then, even though those are lifetime access, people keep lifetime access, but I really want something where people are thinking about this being a part of their lifestyle and you continue on with it. And so I'm combining that experience I've had with the 30-day programs. I've also worked one-on-one with clients. So figuring out what people need for their particular issues and putting all that into an all-in-one place, which is going to be a membership. And so that'll be an app that you can download from the App Store. And I'm going to have different routine tracks. So it will be based on your main areas of concern. So like the jaw area, the jawline, the eyebrows, the eyes, the lower cheeks, whatever it may be. And then there'll be like the mind body element built into all of those based on what the common patterns are. And so you get that feeling of like relaxation, and you also get the work on the muscles to get, the results that you want. So I think that'll be really great for people. That'll be really exciting. And it'll be very comprehensive, but still like more straightforward. So my 30-day programs are like an overall approach. Like, let's work on everything overall. With these, you can really hone in and focus on what areas you want to focus on, but it will still be comprehensive in the sense that, like I said earlier, if you want to work on your jaw area, I'm not just going to give you jaw techniques. You're also going to work on the scalp. You're going to work on the neck muscles. You're going to work on raising the shoulders. This happens a lot. Some shoulder tension with people who have that jaw tension, which back to what we were talking about, that upward energy, and like that kind of anger embracing.
Oh,
So there'll
interesting.
also be the element of working on Recentering in the body, feeling like you don't have to get into that, clenching, embracing when you are stressed, when you are angry, when you are frustrated. So, yeah, it'll be, I hope that makes sense. But yeah, it'll be like routine
Yes.
tracks and then focus on what you want, but it'll be comprehensive in each of those, like each of those focuses.
Awesome. When is that coming out?
Probably in a few months. I'm going to start recording it in a few weeks. So I'm still taking input from people. I really want to know what people want to see in it. I've been asking, like, for example, how much time people have each day. So that's, that was our previous question. So that's great. And the answer that I got the most was like that it depends on the day for people. So I think that's another reason that this will be really great because you can tailor it to your needs. So if you want to do just like 5 to 10 minutes one day, then just do like one of your routines in there and they'll be like shorter routines. But then if you want to work on multiple areas or you want to do some more extensive work, then you can combine routine tracks or you can combine routines and you can do like 15 to 20 minutes. Or you could like be like that, okay, I'm going to do that on Sunday. Like Sunday is going to be my day where I combine things. So, yeah, I'm trying to hammer all that out. I want to make it like easy to navigate and convenient, but it'll probably be a few months from now that that comes out.
Yeah, that sounds really cool.
Yeah. So if anybody who's listening wants to send me ideas, I would love to hear your ideas like on the user end of what makes like something like that easy to navigate, what makes it hard to navigate. What would you want to see in it? What kind of focus would you want to see? All that good stuff. I'd love to hear it.
Cool. And where can people find you on social media?
You can find me at Sage Facial Tension Release on Instagram and TikTok. I am on YouTube too, but I have not given YouTube a lot of attention. I want to get through the launch of this membership app, and then I'll start posting more YouTube videos and going on de in depth more there. But yeah, on Instagram and TikTok, you can find me there. On TikTok, I do like to go more in depth on things, kind of more like our conversation today. I'll do longer videos breaking things down, and then Instagram, I like to share a lot of like tips and success stories and stuff like that, like in the stories and highlights. So I kind of share different things on both. So you can find me there on both.
Awesome. Cool. Well, thank you so much for joining and thanks for answering all the questions.
Yeah, this was so fun. I feel like I've learned so much. I'm making new connections. It's great. Are you good?
That's all for today for the Your Own Medicine podcast. Thank you so much for listening. These episodes do come out pretty sporadically, so if you'd like to be notified each time a new episode comes out, please subscribe on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And you can always follow my journey along, which I always post when a new episode comes out on my social media, TikTok and Instagram at Kelly Klug Yoga. And feel free to keep in touch. You can also check out my website at kellyklugyoga.com. Thanks for listening and see you next time.